This is my fifth Christmas, and each one is so special. It's wonderful at the moment hearing all that God is doing in our community and in individual lives. We continue to see new people joining us. And in January, I'm going to be sharing some plans about how we increase our mission to the wider community and further afield. And some of you, and so that we can welcome new Christians and others to join us, some of you may have noticed, it's not so noticeable this week, but some of you may have noticed in previous weeks, we have moved the creche into the back of church. You might have spotted that one. That's not a long-term plan. That's not a long-term growth plan. That might be the reason why the church is a bit sparser today. No. Thank you for being gracious, those of you who sit a bit further back. And thank you, parents, for keeping the children's noise as low as you can. We're just at that stage of growth where we're trying to work out how we do growth. And as I say, in the new year, I'll be sharing more about some plans we've got. This is, as Richard said, this is our last 10:30 until the new year. Apart from Christmas Day, because on New Year's Eve we're having a joint 10:08, just one service at 10 o'clock as well. I realise that I hope we'll see more people joining us after Christmas because this is our season. I say it every year, this is our season. Christmas is our season. Now I know and I recognise that actually, even for Christians, me saying that can actually sometimes be difficult because some of you I know don't look forward to Christmas. Maybe because of bereavement. I know my mother-in-law, Sue's mum, comes and stays with us each Christmas, has done for the last few years. But I know she finds Christmas really tough because Sue's dad died a few years ago. And Christmas really reminds her that he's not here. And I know that there's others who are disappointed about relationship breakdown. Some people are very lonely at Christmas time. Christmas is a reminder time. And so when I say this is our season, I'm not saying we're all going to have wonderful Christmases, although I hope we do. I hope we know blessing, and I hope being part of this church makes Christmas better than it would be otherwise, and I hope that we as a church make Christmas better for other people than otherwise they would have. But I say it not because we're all going to have amazing Christmases or are looking forward to Christmas. I say it boldly and loudly because it is our season, because it's the season when we remember that Jesus has come into our world. And in a world that feels at times like it's gone slightly mad, particularly with consumerism and materialism running amok, a message about hope, about peace, about joy is one that I think our world really needs to hear. This is our season. And it's our season because in a broken and hurting world, we have a message of peace on earth and goodwill to men. And you know, there's no other time in the year when hundreds of people will come to church with very little persuasion. Hundreds of people who don't normally come to church come with very little persuasion. Rich mentioned that the statistics. Apparently there was a survey done where people were asked whether they would attend a carol service if asked by a friend. And 87% said they would. Then Christians were asked if they invite people to carol services, and only 2% said they do. So now, even if those statistics are wildly wrong, and we take 87% down to 50%, and we take 2% up to 10%, so 1 in 10 of us will ask, and 1 in 2 will say yes, it still means that more people out there are waiting to be asked to a carol service than we are doing the asking. So I'd encourage you to ask. Friday night at the farm, there were over 200 people, vast majority not from church and not from our church. I keep bumping into them. I met a few yesterday who were saying how much they had enjoyed the service and how much they'd got out of it. One of the services that we read, and apologies if you were there because you've heard this already, but I think it's so good I wanted to read it again. It was "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." It was written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Some of you may be familiar with it. It was inspired on Christmas Day in 1863 as he heard the church bells. And it has a carol, the first verse is, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was a man who had known much tragedy, much tragedy. His first wife died during a miscarriage. The previous year, his second wife, Frances, had died when her dress caught fire in the fire. He had smothered her to try and put it out and been badly burnt himself, but she died from her burns, leaving him a widowed father of six children. His eldest son, Charlie, was a soldier fighting in the American Civil War for Abraham Lincoln in the North against the slave trade in the South. And while dining at home on the 1st of December, 1863, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow received a telegram that Charlie had been severely wounded 4 days earlier. Charlie had been shot through the left shoulder. The bullet had exited under his right shoulder blade, travelled across his back, and skimmed his spine. Charlie avoided being paralysed by less than an inch. His father immediately went to Washington, where Charlie was, and was really quite concerned when the surgeon told him it was very serious and there was a risk of paralysis. Other surgeons said it wasn't as bad the next day, but that he would need a long healing of at least 6 months. And so on Christmas Day in 1863, Longfellow, a 57-year-old widowed father of six children, the oldest of whom had been nearly paralysed, fighting in a civil war where his country was tearing itself apart, wrote a poem seeking to capture the pain he was feeling, the brokenness he was observing in the world. He heard the Christmas bells that December day. He heard the singing of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And if you're not aware, I'm sure many of you are, but if you're not aware, that comes from the story in Luke's gospel where the angels appear to the shepherds and say, we come with a great story, peace on earth, goodwill to men. He heard people singing that. He heard the bells ringing, but he also knew his personal pain. He knew the national pain that was taking place in the country. And the verse further, and it just seemed a mockery of those verses. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. It seemed to be absurd to him. Mock the truthfulness of that optimistic outlook. And in the poem, it goes on, it reads, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And then the next verse, and in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. He looks at the world and he thinks, oh no, it's all going wrong. But in the face of all that personal and national tragedy, he writes the last verse. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. You see, he knew something of what we know, that the love of God, whatever we are facing, can help us to be bearers of peace on earth and can help us to bring goodwill to all men. And in that last verse, it's not of peace on earth, but with peace on earth. Peace on earth will make the difference, and we are the ones to be peace bearers. You see, 700 years earlier, Isaiah wrote a prophecy, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that is the message that we have at this time of year, a message of hope, of peace on earth. The reading in the church today is Isaiah chapter 40, and it's comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Comfort, comfort my people. We have a message of compassion and comfort for the world. a world that is hurting. We all know people who are hurting at this time. And we have a message of compassion and comfort for them. Goes on, says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. And we take our message tenderly to the people around us. And then there's this wonderful few verses. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up. Every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level. The rugged places a plain. Now the imagery that Isaiah is conjuring up there is that the valleys shall be filled in. The mountains shall become low. And a nice, easy walk shall be prepared. Because it's hard walking up and down through valleys and over mountains. But it's easy when it's flat. And he's saying we're prepared. The message is being prepared to come easily to the people. And in Mark's gospel, the beginning of the good news. Remember, it's good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. See, the message that John was speaking, the message that we are speaking, that we are preparing the way, is that Christmas can be a fresh start. That it's our season because it's a season of new hope, of fresh start, of the slate being wiped clean, of sin being forgiven, of the things that we've done wrong being put right. And we prepare the way for Jesus as we invite others to come and hear that message, to come and respond to it. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, for all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, that's what we were singing about. We want God's glory to be revealed. We want people to understand how good God is, how much he loves them, how he can help in the darkest of circumstances. That's what Henry Longfellow knew, that in the darkest of circumstances, God can help us because God is with us. God with us. And then a few verses later, it goes on and says, you who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift up, do not be afraid. Lift up your voice, do not be afraid. You who have good news. You see, we have this wonderful good news. It's been good news for us that we've experienced. The question is, are we going to be one of the 2% who will share, who will invite others to experience that good news? Because really, why don't we? I was thinking about this. We don't generally because we feel a little bit embarrassed. We feel a little bit like, oh, they might think we're a bit weird being a Christian. It might impact our friendship in some ways. And yet, if that statistic's right, 87% of our friends are waiting for us to invite them to a carol service. You might get the 13% who aren't, but you know. We have this message of good news. And the challenge that comes across from this passage is it's good news. Lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. And the final verse says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And this is this wonderful image that God carries us close to his heart. And that his love for us and for his people out there who don't know him is that he wants to carry them close to his heart. This is a message of good news. It is a message of hope. So I just really encourage you in the next few days, I know the children are going to be joining us soon, but to just invite friends to come to our carol services or to our Christingle or to the Nativity. Maybe come with them. Maybe invite them to go for a drink afterwards and talk about what they felt about it and give us feedback, whether it was good or bad. We want to improve every year. But we are designing our services with your friends in mind. We want you there, but we want you to invite your friends and bring them. You know, in London, we used to invite our neighbours around. We lived in a cul-de-sac. And the first Christmas we moved in, we invited all our neighbours. We just put a thing through the door. We hadn't met any of them. Come round for mince pies and carols. My mum was really concerned we would have invited an axe murderer round to our house. You know, London, it's a terrible place. But we invited these neighbours in, and we had a wonderful time. Wonderful time. They were delighted to be invited. Not all of them came, but most of them did. Two neighbours who'd lived two houses apart for 20 years had never spoken to each other before. But they came round and they met their neighbours. And we just acted as a catalyst. Why not do something like that in the context of inviting someone to a service? Because you don't know how God is preparing the way in people's hearts as well. You know, we prepare the way, we do our part, preparing the way by invitation, by friendship, but God is preparing the way. When I was a student in London, soon after I'd become a Christian, I was so excited about this message, even more so than I am now. So excited. And I just would talk to my friends about it. And I had these two friends, Nick and Derek. And Nick was always asking me questions. And we would have these discussions. And Derek would just be sitting there, and he'd never say anything. And I was thinking, Nick's getting really close, and I prayed. And then just one Sunday, I thought, I'm just going to pray for Derek. And I prayed for Derek. And the next week, Derek says to me, I want to become a Christian. He said it like that. And I thought he was winding me up. I said, are you sure? Do you know what you mean? And I gave him a really hard time, because it was Nick who I'd been talking to. But in all that talking to Nick, God had been at work in Derek's life. And he comes to New Wine now, and I see him every now and again at New Wine. And he became a Christian, dramatically discovering again the Father's love. You don't know what God is doing in your neighbor's hearts. But he is at work, and we are just joining in. So let's be prepared. God is preparing the way. He's preparing the way in us, in our hearts. He's asking us to prepare the way. And I believe he's preparing the way for others to come to know him. And we are to be part of that. Final thing I'm going to say is, you know, there is nothing more exciting, as some of you experience this, nothing more exciting. Getting married, it's wonderfully exciting. Having our first children, incredibly exciting. But I actually want to say there is nothing more exciting than seeing someone come to faith, because their life is changed. It's transformed. And seeing a friend come to faith and discover hope where they've been hopeless, purpose where they haven't had purpose, a God who loves them. It's nothing, nothing beats it. And we can be part of that. We can be part of that. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this Christmas time. We thank you that this is our season, that this is a time when we can share your message of hope with friends and neighbours. We thank you for the children who are coming in to join us now. We thank you for the Christingle service this afternoon and all that's going to take place. And we pray that many would come to know you this Christmas time. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.